Everyone's doing well this morning. We're thankful that we have an opportunity here to preach God's word once again, to worship Him. We're thankful for the freedoms that we have, that we are able to do this. We pray that even if we lose the freedoms, that we won't lose the courage to continue to worship God as He commands us and as He wants us to. And so right now, we're going to look at, in Mark chapter 12, two great commandments. This comes not long after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem before, the last week of His life before His crucifixion. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even the Herodians, the political elite, they've all kind of come together, and they want to get rid of Jesus, and they're going to do whatever they can to get rid of Him. And so they begin to try and tempt Him and to catch Him out and ask Him questions, try to catch Him in some kind of way that they could use against Him. Again, He's very popular. He's an upstart. The people love Him at this point, at least they seem to. We know the people are very fickle, and they understand the people are very fickle, and they're trying to find something that they can turn around and use against Jesus. And so He kind of ends those questions. He silences them with His answers are so wise, they just can't speak against them. But as we come to verse 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that He answered them well, asked Him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions." And so he silences them. He's asked by a scribe, one of the lawyers. He said, "Which is the first and greatest commandment of all?" He told him to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He told him also to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so the scribe saw the wisdom. He agreed with the grace and the wisdom of Christ. And Jesus then responded, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Now, though part of the law, these two great commandments are very important to Christians today. They have their counterpart with us today in the New Testament. And keeping commandments of God is just as important now as it has ever been. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19, here Paul makes it clear, circumcision is nothing, talking about the Jews, the physical Jews, the hereditary Jews, and uncircumcision is nothing, the Gentiles, but the keeping of the commandments of God. In the church, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. It's all what is important is keeping the commandments of God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And so it's important for us today to keep the law of Christ, just as it was important for the Jews under the Old Covenant to keep the law of Moses. And so it is proper then for us to ask, do we love God, and do we love our neighbor? Do we really understand what is involved? And so when we look at these two great commandments that Jesus gives and reflect upon them, I think we can find the answer to these questions. And so let's begin there in verses 29 and 30. He said again, The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first great commandment. And so, of course, this is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, where Moses used those exact words, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Emotionally, physically, intellectually, they were to love God. Thus, they were to love God with every fiber of their being. You know, not like some who serve God emotionally while committing intellectual suicide. Some who serve God intellectually but don't have any emotion to it. Or some who serve God emotionally and intellectually but with no actual obedience requiring the exercise of strength. You know, it's easy to obey God in the things that we want to obey Him in, but when we want to disobey, when we want to do something else, it's a lot harder to bring our will into compliance with God's will. Because, you know, as we've said before, we're to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, and as Marshall Keeble used to say about that verse in Romans 12, verse 1, that the problem with a living sacrifice is it wants to crawl off the altar. And so we've got to continually make that sacrifice of ourselves. And so we're to love God with every fiber of our being. So how are we to love God today? Does God require any less of us than He did of the Israelites? Of course not. We are to love God with every fiber of our being. That's what Jesus said. We're to love God with all of our heart. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. I'm going to read from the New King James here. It says, If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The King James uses, let him be anathema maranatha, which literally means, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. And so, for some reason, in the King James, they transliterated rather than translated those terms. And so that's why we looked at the New King James. But notice the word love there. This is that. This is not agape here. This is phileo love. This is that brotherly love. Who doesn't have that kind of familial love or that brotherly love for Jesus? We've got to have that kind of love. We're to love Him with all of our hearts, with all of our soul and our body and our mind. Again, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I jumped ahead of myself a bit. We are to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we're to love Him with all of our soul, with all of our strength, our patience, our endurance. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. He says, For ye have need of patience. And that word can be also translated endurance or strength. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And we're to love Him with all of our strength. We're to love Him with all of our mind. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. We're to worship Him. We're to love God with our mind. You know, we demonstrate our love for God through keeping His commandments. Again, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And these commandments, they're not grievous, they're not a burden on us. They shouldn't be. We shouldn't view them as a burden. This is evidence that we love Jesus. John 14, 15, He said simply, If ye love Me, keep My commandments. That's how we show our love. And so we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, body, and mind. We're to love Christ. So how do we grow in our love? You know, first of all, by letting God's love for us move us to return that love. Dwell upon God's love for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, John says, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. And so this is how God showed His love to us. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, the appeasement of our sins. He recognized that we are in sin and we are separated from Him eternally unless God stepped in and intervened. And because He loves us, He stepped in, He intervened, He made it possible for us to be redeemed, for us to be reconciled back to Him by sending His only begotten Son to take our place. The innocent for the guilty, the perfect for the imperfect. And so He showed us His love in this. And so when we think about and dwell upon the love that God has for us and what He has done for us through His Son, that ought to give us reason to grow in our love for Him. Also, we need to just simply ask God, turn to God in prayer. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul just simply says, "And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into patient waiting for Christ." And so turn to God in prayer. Grow in your love for Him. By praying and growing in love is where we find answers. In Psalms 116, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "I love the Lord, because He hath heard my cry," or "He hath heard my voice and my supplication, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." When the psalmist recognizes that God hears his prayers, that God listens, that God cares, thinking on that increases his love for God, knowing that He cares. We grow in our love for God in keeping His Word. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected," completed. We complete God's love when we keep His Word. "Hereby know we that we are in Him." We don't need to have some kind of, better felt than told experience to know that we are in God. If we can look at our life and know that we're keeping His Word, that we're growing in our love for Him, and we can know that we are in Him. And so we are to love God. Are we expected to love God any less than God expected the Israelites to love Him? And of course not. We have even more compelling reasons to love Him. You think about it was to us that God sent His only begotten Son. Not to the Israelites, though He had a special relationship with them. He did not have the same relationship with them that He does with us today. That was just a type and a foreshadow of the love and the relationship that we have with God today. And so we have even more reason than the Israelites ever did to love God. He's done so much more for us. Now, of course, through the retroactive blood of Christ, they have now been, those that were faithful under the old law, they have been restored to the same relationship we have with God, or they will in heaven. And so we're to love the Lord thy God. That's the first and great commandment. That's the most important thing. But He said the second is like unto it, just as important. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It is enjoined upon Christians today. We owe it to love our neighbors. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. After talking about obedience to the civil authorities, he says here, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." When fully applied, it fulfills what the law requires. He goes on to say, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When we do those things, you know, the Ten Commandments can really be divided. The first four deal with man's love for God, and the last six deal with man's love for his fellow man. And so, of course, nine of those Ten Commandments have been enjoined upon Christians today. We are not to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy, but we're to observe the Lord's Day. And so, otherwise, those commandments, six of them spoke to working no ill toward our fellow man. If one truly loves his neighbor, he's not going to kill, he's not going to commit adultery, he's not going to do any of those things, not lie or steal or be disrespectful to parents and things of that nature. And so, you know, this love for our neighbor as ourself is enhanced by a new commandment. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And so, why is this a new commandment? The Old Testament tells them to love their neighbor as themselves, but he says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." There is a new stipulation there. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And so he takes this love of neighbor to a higher level than was enjoined under the Old Testament. No longer do we just love one another as we love ourselves. We must love one another as Christ loved us. And there's a big difference. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And notice to the extent that he's talking about here. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's exactly what Jesus did, and he expects us to do the same. Not necessarily be crucified and hung on a cross, but whatever sacrifice that I need to make for your benefits, for the benefit of another, I ought to do it, if I can do it. And so we have a new commandment, a greater commandment, to love one another, to love our neighbor, not just as ourselves, but as Christ loved us, and as Christ loves the world. We experience our loving of our neighbor when we keep God's commandments. Again, you know, we keep His commandments, we know we love Him. When we keep His commandments, we know we love our neighbor. We demonstrate the love for another by keeping the commandments of God. In 2 John verses 5 and 6, John says, "Now I beseech thee, lady," well, that's an individual lady, or whether he's addressing the church, I don't know, "not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." And so this is love, that we keep the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. We know that we are in God when we obey His word. And so, you know, this is how we know that we really love another person, love one another. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Whosoever believeth that Christ," or that Jesus is the Christ, "is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat Him also," say that again, "everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." And so those that are begotten of God are our fellow Christians. He says when we love the one begotten just as much as we are, you know, in the way we, say that again, we're not to love one another just as much as we love God, but we are to love one another and we are to love God. We are to love those that have been begotten by God, and we are to love the one that begat them. And so again, we see our commandment to love our neighbor. And in doing so, we obey the commandment of God, and we show our love to God when we love one another. And again, it's not just by claiming that we love one another, but by setting the proper example and encouraging each other by the example that we set. And then we see to love our neighbor as ourself. We see this by the example of God Himself. You know, we develop love for one another by being taught of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. He says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." So I don't need to give you another commandment to love one another because you already have been taught that. "And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren," notice, "that ye increase more and more." He said, you love one another. I don't need to tell you to love one another because you already love one another. But I want you to increase in that. To grow in that love for one another. The Thessalonians had been taught of God to love their brethren. They did so, but there's always room to improve. And then Jesus, by His own example, demonstrated to us what true love is. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. "Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's where love is. That's what real love is loving in deed and in truth, not just giving lip service. If we wish to learn how to love one another properly, let's look to God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about these two commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor. You know, there is none greater than these. Even the scribe, the one that's trying to catch Jesus up, even he can't help but agree. There's none greater than these. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 40, Jesus said, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we love God with every fiber of our being, we love our neighbor, not just as ourselves, but as Christ has loved us, then we're going to be keeping all of the commandments of God just naturally. Again, love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." When one truly loves God, he's going to love his neighbor as himself. He's going to love his neighbor as Christ has loved us. When we do that, we're on the path that leads to the kingdom of God. Again, Jesus told this man, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." You know, when one loves his neighbor as himself and loves God with every fiber of his being, he is on the road that leads to eternal life. Luke chapter 10 and verse 28, you know, here again, it's the same account, different account of the same event, the same questioning. He says there, he ends it in verse 28, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." He told him in Mark that you're not far from the kingdom of God. He said, you do this and you're going to live. When we love God with every fiber of our being and we practice the golden rule and love our neighbor as ourself, we're headed the right direction. If you wish to receive eternal life this morning and to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, then you need to demonstrate your love for God by obeying His commandments. You know, Matthew chapter 28, excuse me, you won't find a Mark 28. You can look, you won't find it. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Mark 16:16, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Peter came to that great conclusion that Jesus, the one they had crucified, is Christ. And it says that there were those there that when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we must repent of our sins, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. They believed it. They were convicted in their hearts. They felt the guilt of their sin. And they wanted to know how to have that sin taken away. Change your life, is what Peter said. Repent. Turn away from that life of sin. Be baptized. Also, the Ethiopian eunuch was told in Acts chapter 8 to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And upon that confession, Philip took him down into the water and he baptized him. Today, if you have not been baptized into Christ, you have not put on Christ in baptism, we urge you to do so today. And as a child of God, we are to live a life of faith in Jesus, focusing on loving God and loving others. Today, if you're here and you are a Christian, but you haven't been living right, you've turned away or you've fallen away or you've stumbled and you've lost your faith or you've stopped being faithful, we urge you to repent. We urge you to pray to God for forgiveness, and we're here to help you. If you've sinned in a way publicly and you'd like to make your confession known, your repentance known, we can help you. We can pray for you. If there's anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual journey, to help you get started on your way, help you be baptized into Christ, or to learn more about what it takes to become a child of God, we urge you this morning to let us know by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.